A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm here with my friend Bill McKenna. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here.
Hello.
And so we have something really fun that we're going to do today. We've never done it this way before, but we have a new friend that we want to introduce to you guys. And we have just met him this morning as well. So we're going to take you along on the journey of getting to know him. So who our special guest is today is entrepreneur Nico Arapkalis. I think I said that right, hopefully. Yep. And he is and teaches magnetic manifesting. So we think this is going to be great fun. So welcome, Nico.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Liz and Bill. This is always love having great conversations. And yeah, we got on this call. We don't really know too much about one another. And some, I really believe that oftentimes those make for some of the best conversations.
Yeah, we think so too.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorite things to do. Bill and I love meeting new people, especially new people who share a lot of the same interests that we do. And we find that there's so many different perspectives, and different perspectives is really our business. So we would love to hear yours. Would you please introduce yourself really to us and to the audience as well?
Yeah, again, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here. Probably the best way to introduce myself is with a quick little story and how I got into what I'm doing now. And that came from a place where I was, when I was 18, my mom gave me a copy of the book, The Secret, and it's all about manifesting. And so I quickly got really gravitated towards this work because I implemented it right away. There's basically a little exercise in there that says, like, imagine, you know, finding a dollar bill. And so I did that for a couple of days. And then I went to the mall with a couple friends and I found a $5 bill on the ground. And I was like, whoa, well, maybe this actually works. And so I kept applying it specifically to my baseball career because I played baseball throughout college. And so there was one particular year where I basically had to play lights out and just absolutely crush it that year. Otherwise, I was pretty much done playing baseball. And so I implemented a lot of the stuff that I learned from The Secret a couple of years prior. And I would imagine myself hitting home runs off the seven of the scoreboard in the last inning on the very first pitch, like that detailed. And there was one particular game that it actually happened exactly the way I saw it right off the seven. And it blew my mind. I knew that it was far bigger than baseball. And so ever since that point, I realized that like our minds are really, really powerful if we leverage them correctly. And so I've applied that throughout my business career. I've done a lot of marketing. That's kind of been my experience. I did that for like over 10 years and worked with some really big household names that you all probably know. And just had so many experiences of all these incredible people coming into my life. And then at a certain point, I knew that I was really destined and meant to teach this stuff so I could help people realize the power within this.
That is awesome.
Now, were these people that these household names, were they the ones that were teaching you, or were you helping them with their marketing?
Yeah, I was helping them. It was really wild. Are you guys familiar with ClickFunnels by chance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So So yeah, I mean, you can't make this stuff up, but I was working with an agency, and all of a sudden, like I've looked up to him and like got really inspired by his work, and somehow we had a client that referred us him at our agency, and he had not even been in my awareness, and then all of a sudden, like, all right, we might sign him as a client, and then, you know, 3 days later, I get a text from a friend that puts us in a group chat and saying, "Hey guys, like I'm going to a live podcast with Russell. You guys should come." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" Like, and then all of a sudden, like things changed, it has shifted, and we're in my friend's apartment on a Friday night, and it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm just like, "There's no way he's gonna show up to your apartment. We're gonna do a podcast. Like that doesn't make sense to me. Like this guy's worth a lot." And sure, but I was like, I'll go see. I mean, I'll go find out. So we're standing in the kitchen, all of a sudden he just comes in and he's right there. I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, oh, don't be weird. And one of the guys that's like hosting the whole thing, he comes right up to me and my friend, he's like, "Hey, have you guys met Russell?" "No." And he's like, "Russell, come here, meet these guys." And so I'm like in real time, I'm like, am I getting a warm introduction right now? And then sure enough, he comes over, we chat for a quick second, we listen to the podcast for until like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And then yeah, like he became a client like a couple weeks later. And so I was like, this is crazy. So yeah, it was the practice of like me continuing to pour into this type of stuff, and I was doing marketing for these types of people, and then you know after that it was when I was like, all right, I want to start like teaching this stuff because people are very intrigued with how I do it, and it's like coming back to what I was sharing before, and I'm big proponents mainly what we teach is like the woo and do process because it's like, yes, it's all the internal work which you guys are familiar with, but it's also like being a From what my take is that being a high level networker and connector and being able to like really build relationships and use those two things combined, it just amplifies everything.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with you on that. We see a lot of people who through this work say they're really suffering because they know that they have a purpose in life, can't figure out what it is. I suspect that most people think they've got to give up their whole life, wear a turban, and live on the edge of town to become the kind of healer that they think they should be. But what we realize is that people need to have the woo, have the skills to become the great healer that they need to be. But they also have to understand that if you're hanging a shingle, you're building a business. And that's the part that gets really overshadowed and missed. A lot of people think, you know, with manifesting that you put it out there, but then there is not any follow-up or doing. We really know that what happens is the right opportunity shows up. Like you said, you know, here you get this great introduction, you know, but if you didn't do anything with it, nothing would come. So it isn't just manifesting and building things with your mind. There is some action that has to be taken. So tell us a little bit more about that in your world. What does that mean to you?
One of the biggest things in our woo and do process is one, having that vision for what it is that you want to create, and more so like what God has for you. And there's so much power in not only cultivating your vision, but what I teach people a lot is like to actually communicate that vision. Because I guess again, I always love sharing stories, and I think this helps give more context to it, but you know, when I was actually working with that agency and we were, you know, running over $1 million a month in ads for ClickFunnels, which was an incredible experience, I started realizing that like this wasn't my path anymore, as wild as that sounds, like dream opportunity, and I was like neglecting but I've been so passionate about vision and like getting clear on what it is that's for you. And so I also have a podcast, and that's been a big part of my life over the last 3 years. And I did it kind of unique where we do them in front of a live audience. So we'll sit down, do a podcast, and there'll be, we do them in person, and there's a big old crowd. And so at that time, what ended up happening is I also created a product. We call it Vision Espresso, and it's basically a tool to help you like really understand your vision. And it's a custom audio from your future self in your voice, because we use a lot of like systems and AI and stuff like that. It's really cool. But, you know, I was really getting excited about this and the podcast and everything. And I was getting ready for the next event. We were going to finally release this product because we hadn't even monetized our podcast at all. And so what ended up happening is I was neglecting my job and I got fired right before that event, which just made my heart sink, because I'm like, all of a sudden I got this nice 2-bedroom apartment in Scottsdale. I was gonna make some good money, you know, setting up this event, like feeling like I'm on cloud 9, and then it like just falls. And I was like, all right, well, it's go time. And so in my Vision Espresso, one of the lines was that I didn't even know what I was going to call it, but I just said like your personal development offer. And then the quote in that audio was, you started attracting dream clients. The most sought after people in the world were begging you to take your money or take their money. And so at that time, like that's what I kept embedding into my mind. Like that was the line, even though like on the external, I'm freaking out because I'm like concerned about paying rent. And so we throw the event, not knowing what's going to happen, if anybody's even going to be remotely interested in this. But I'm like, all right, I have an idea. I have a vision, and I'm going to share that vision and we'll put it out there, see what happens. And so I put it out there. I play the audio for everybody. And I ask everybody, like, who would want one of these? Like, that's the idea. We want to build these out for you guys. And the whole room raised their hand. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But like, it's one thing for people to raise their hand and another thing to like actually give me money. But what was interesting is that the first person that approached me on stage after I, you know, essentially pitched it, I didn't even know what I was doing. But was a guy that he had a 7-figure marketing agency for law firms. And since then, so he actually became my first client. And, now we actually are very close friends, and we host like these men's groups and these dinners, and, he's just become a really close friend. And he's, since then, he's gone from a 7-figure agency to a mid-8-figure. He's in a beautiful relationship. He's got a, you know, multi-million-dollar home. And what I've been talking about a lot, even some people were asking me at that dinner we did the other night, they're like, how are you such a good connector? They're like, how do you know so many people? Like, how do so many people know you? And it's really about continuing to build relationships, because it's like, this is a little tangent, but there's a guy that I learned some really powerful things from, and it's kind of an interesting story because he's a really powerful business owner. He started in nightlife, and he said to me something pretty interesting. He said, there's basically 3 things you can do in nightlife. Is one, you can party and chase girls. 2, you can just go to make money. Or 3, you can build your network. And he said, one of them actually unlocks everything else, and that is building your network. And so that's what I mean, obviously that's not completely in the context of partying and girls, but what I understood is that like, there's so much power in building your network. And so what I've really incorporated on the do side is building my network very strategically and always being the person that connects people with other people, and now throwing events that brings a bunch of people together so they can naturally connect with one another. So that's one of the biggest things that I will always say, is that like the do aspect is really relationship building and nurturing relationships. Because when you have a really strong relationship with your network, and they like, you're building your brand, which I always say is like, what are people saying about you when you're not there? That's when like doors continue to unlock. And again, that just increases the probability that your manifestations come to fruition.
That is awesome. You know, what I love about it is that the work that myself and Liz do is consciousness related and also manifesting, but you tapped into something that is very fourth dimensional. And what I mean by that is that in the third dimension, there is a lot of separation and relationships are transactional. And that what you were talking about is something very fourth dimensional. Relationships in the fourth dimension become about mutually caring about each other authentically. Yeah. And in the fourth dimension, what happens is that synchronicities, coincidences, manifestation speeds up. Time dilates. So you're the amount of time it takes for from thought to thing is much, much shorter. So you're actually living it. You're living it where you're authentically caring about another individual enough and seeing the good in an individual. That is also part of the fourth dimension. We begin to lose our judgments and assumptions and we see the good in another. And you see so much good in two people that you're bringing them together. You're like, you know what? You're both awesome in your own way. You're not blind. You know, everybody got something, you know, a problem. But you know what? You see the good and that your brain, literally neurons in your brain, those syntaxes just start firing and it's so easy for you. I would assume that this is like breathing for you. You're just like, oh, you, here we go, my friends, here you go. And I can see how you can work together. My guess is, does it feel as natural as breathing and so easy for you?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You seem very tapped in, Bill. But yeah, exactly. I mean, I had a really cool experience recently. A guy that I've been following for years. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the guy. His name's Eddie Pinero. He's got a YouTube channel called Your World Within. I highly recommend. It's one of the best YouTube channels on the planet. But when I was a broke Uber driver sleeping on my mom's futon in her office, I would listen to his stuff and it would get me through a lot. And I would even like download some of his episodes and just like onto my phone and just like listen to them on repeat. And so what was interestingly happened is I ran into him on Instagram, like probably about a year ago, and I followed him and he followed me right back. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I sent him a message and just kind of shared with him like, hey, I love your stuff. And I used to listen to it all the time when I drive Uber. And funny enough is I was at an event here probably back in like April time. And then I was like, sure enough, he was right there. And we chatted for a little bit. I invited him to an event we were about to throw and he showed up, and then we've become, you know, decently close friends. He's come to some of our meetups and dinners and hangouts and whatnot. And I put together this little experience where we all went on a boat. There was probably like eight of us. And Eddie was asking me, he's like, dude, like, how do you do this? Like, how do you curate these people? Like, it just, like, it seems like it's so natural to you. And you're exactly right, Bill. And even my other friend, James, who I was referencing earlier, who has the marketing agency. He's like, dude, it's like the thing that you just find joy and it's so effortless. You put this amazing group together and we have all these cool people. It's like, yes, it is natural. It is. I love being around people that inspire me and uplift me. And, you know, something I heard recently that really spoke to me is, you know, if you, I'm sure you guys have heard of the phrase, like you become like the five people you spend the most time with, but I heard this in a little bit different context. And it said like, and just from a financial aspect, just because it makes it simple, but it's like, if you're hanging around with people that are all making $150,000 a year, and that's like the average, right? So if you add all the incomes up and then you divide it by five, you see that it's 150K a year. That is literally your income cap. right? You can't go above that until you put someone else that's making 200K, 300K, 400K, right? And so that just opened up my perspective even more. And I'll always come back to like the woo and the do, because it's like energetically, those are the type of people I'm becoming like. But then at the same time, if I have goals to be better at relationships or to make more money or to have better health, like I literally have to be around people that are on that wavelength, that are doing that kind of stuff in order for me to accomplish my goals. And so it comes from a woo standpoint of like, just wanted to be around that energy, but also if I'm going to continue to grow and develop, like it's a must to be around amazing people. And, you know, I'm sure you guys can relate to this, but like no one's going to do it for you. And there was a period of time, even recently, where like people were kind of falling out of my life and I was kind of getting flustered and frustrated with it. But I also realized it's my responsibility of who I'm going to bring into my circles and have people. And it was like, I just started intentionally building who I want to be like and be around and be inspired by. And it's amazing when you're around really cool people.
So this has been such a fun conversation so far. We need to take our first break. Let's hear from our good sponsors, and we'll be right back and hear a little bit more about the woo part of this equation.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we are back with Nico Arapkalis, and he is an entrepreneur who talks about magnetic manifesting. And when we stopped at the break, you mentioned the woo part again. So let's talk a little bit more about that. It's kind of what our audience is used to hearing about from us.
Yeah.
What do you mean by woo? Are you talking about like everyday magic, real magic? Are you talking about what feels like woo-woo in terms of thinking about something and manifesting? Or what does it mean to you?
Yeah, the three components of the woo. So we have basically like five components of the whole woo and do formula. But the woo is comprised of removing subconscious blocks, because there's oftentimes most of us, if not all of us, have these blocks that are energetically keeping us stuck. That's why you hear a lot of people will say like, oh, I know I need to do that. All right. I know I should be doing that, but for whatever reason, they're not. Right. There's some type of block that came up usually in early childhood that developed some sort of trauma, whether that was big T trauma or little T trauma, that started developing these patterns. And then people just continue to repeat those patterns. So it's really important to identify what those blocks are and then start working on removing those blocks so that you can actually move towards what I like to call the step two is really casting that vision. One of my favorite verses from the Bible is that without vision, the people perish. It's in Proverbs 29:18, I believe. And that's really the case. I mean, how many times have you seen people that even they set goals and then they hit those goals and then they don't reset goals and then they fall off and they get depressed and anxious? And that's why it's so imperative to always have a vision on where you are going and more so who you are becoming. And what's interesting is like, as we've really started developing our processes and helping people with vision, it's interesting because you never want to have a vision, but the vision always evolves. Right. And it's interesting because like people that are much earlier on in their journey, they'll be like, oh, I want, you know, a yacht and sports cars and stuff like that. And as people, because we always update people's visions as well, I recommend doing it every quarter. But as the person evolves, you oftentimes see people, their vision becomes much more about like their heart-centered purpose rather than these external materialistic items. And so it's really important, but it's always important to, like, what is that vision? Who is that vision of where you're going, who you're becoming? Because we're always moving towards something. And then the last part is faith, is trust, is the letting go and surrendering and knowing that it's not really in our control. And just one of my favorite quotes that I heard recently, that it couldn't have happened any other way. And the more that I just continually submit to that and be obedient to what God has for me, as opposed to thinking that I'm in control, the more peace comes into my life. And so that's kind of like the three aspects that we always talk about with, you know, the quote unquote woo.
So are you talking about, it sounds like, you know, faith-centered, God-centered. Are you talking about metaphysical things or practical things or both?
What would you refer to in specifics about metaphysical?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the people in our universe are talking about things like that look like miracles, that look like it absolutely should not happen, and it does. And so just that kind of really unknown sort of feeling of magic happening in your life, versus for some people, it's about, okay, I'm going to ask for what I need, and then it's delivered by God. So where are you on that scale?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that come to mind when you ask that question. Is one, a quote that I heard a while back that really spoke to me. It said, when you live intentionally, nothing is random. And so I truly believe in and love intentionality. I mean, that's what we put into our Vision Espresso as well, as like the first question we ask before it even starts. It's, what is your intention for the day? And so intentionality has been absolutely paramount for me in my journey. And I believe it's about setting those intentions, but it's not setting those intentions to where it's like, this is how it has to be. It's just basically like shooting out the direction that you want to go. And the other thing I was going to say is that, you know, we often get what we want, but it doesn't come how we thought it would. And so kind of a metaphor that I like to draw out is, it's same gift, different wrapping. So when we are intentional about what we want, it usually comes to fruition, from my experience and experience of clients and colleagues and people I know. But oftentimes, like, it doesn't happen exactly the way you thought it would. So it looks a little bit different, but in the end, it is what you asked for.
Do you have any stories about that?
I do have an interesting story about when I was traveling back from Colorado to Arizona, probably like a few months ago. And it was a wild story because, you know, I get to the airport and I actually got there early. And I was going early because of the fact that I was checking in with my parents and they were going back to Virginia because that's where they live. And then my flight was like later on. So I get there and the lady's like, well, you can't check in because it's more than 4 hours before your flight. And I was like, okay, well, like, is there any other way we can do this? And she's like, well, you can actually we can shift your flight to an earlier one, and then you can be on standby. And I was like, okay, cool. And then she's like, but you're probably not going to get on it. Like, your luggage will get on it, but you won't get on it because there's like 15 people ahead of you right now. I was like, okay, cool. I wasn't even planning on being on that one, right? And so I was just like, cool, I'm just glad to go hang out with my parents a little bit. And then I was just having fun in the airport. I always have a good time, like, just chatting people up. And there was just a bunch of like funny things going on, and I was just having a blast and enjoying it. And then I got to the gate and I was like, I went to the desk and I was like, hey, like, is there a chance I'm going to get on this flight? Lady's like, no, there's like 15 people ahead of you and this is a full flight. I was like, okay, cool. And then I started chatting with some of the other people that were on standby. And they're like, I've been here since 8 o'clock this morning. I better get on this flight. And I was like, yeah. And then they announced that the flight was full and there's nobody that was going to get on standby. And so I was like, all right, no big deal. And I went up to the desk and I was like, hey, do I need a different ticket now that I'm going to be on the next one? And before she could even answer that, she picks up the phone. She's like, what? Really? Okay. She puts it down and didn't even say anything. I knew exactly what was going down. She starts typing. She prints a ticket. And she says, get on the flight. And so I come back to like, it's the faith and it's the trust and it's not like the holding on and like tensing up. So the more like, obviously I want to get back to Phoenix and that allowed me to get back quicker and easier than I anticipated, but I didn't know how exactly it was going to happen. And when we let go of that tenseness and just like truly surrender to say like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but you know, the more that I can take that detached mentality or, you know, open to anything, that's when things typically go the best way. And then I just, you know, again, continue to thank God for how he continues to bless me, because that wasn't me. That was all him. Hmm. He couldn't have drawn that up.
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's another aspect. You know, it's really cool for us to meet you. Liz, I know what she's thinking. She knows what I'm thinking. But one of the cool aspects is you keep talking about things that we can clearly see that you're living in what we call the fourth dimension. There's aspects. Another aspect of what you just said was trust, a different word for it. But you were living trust. You trusted, you know what, it's going to work out. Not sure how, but it's going to work out. And with that trust, the feeling of angst that the other guy had, where I got to get on this flight at 8 o'clock, he was living in fear and trying to control an outcome. And he was separate from the thing that he wanted, he needed. Mm-hmm. And so you were living in this fourth dimension where in that dimension, literally the world becomes more malleable to your intention. So many things that begin to happen, but a great story and another illustration of the principles, living the principles.
Yeah, I think one more piece of that too is something that we call being at neutral, full neutral. You know, when you're not attached to an outcome and your body is literally like, cool, you know, it'll happen this way or it'll happen that way. And if it doesn't happen this way, maybe something cooler will happen. But there isn't that angst that the body's holding on to some kind of fear, some kind of fight or flight. That seems to have such an effect on everything that happens. But when your body's at neutral and you're relaxed and easy with the process, then something really cool comes out of it. I mean, another possibility could have been, you know, you got stuck there for a few more hours, but the next cool person that you needed to meet showed up, right? Yeah. You know, whatever happens is okay. And when you get in that feeling state in the body, the whole world does open for you. So let's take our next quick break. And when we come back, I know Nico has a cool tool for everyone. So let's hear from our good sponsors and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. We're here with Bill McKenna and Nico Arapkalis. the entrepreneur who teaches magnetic manifesting. And so, Nico, you said that you have something that you call monthly milestone lists, and that it might be something our audience could actually take and start to utilize. What's that about?
Yeah, it's a really beautiful practice that has helped me a lot. And I think it even adheres to like the story that we were just talking about with the airport. And, you know, I, historically speaking, like the trust and the faith has not been my MO. Like I, that's been a challenge in the past. But the more that I incorporate these type of things, like the monthly milestone list, it really helps me develop more of that trust and that surrender and that letting go. So think about it, like the last time you were just hysterically laughing and just having a great time. A question I often ask people is like, what was the last time you were belly laughing, or what makes you belly laugh? Like the reason that I ask that question is because it's amazing to just feel good and have more fun and laughing. But think about the last time that you were just like uncontrollably laughing, like you couldn't breathe very well. Like, were you thinking about the future or the past? Were you stressing about what's going to go down in the next hour, or what happened, or this person hurt you, or any of that? Like, it's the ultimate tool to be present, in my opinion. And so what I actually learned this from one of my mentors is like having that list of what you want to focus on, because what you focus on expands. Einstein even did the double slit test that proved this from a scientific basis, that where attention goes, those energy flows. So basically what I do is every month on my phone, I just pull up a new note and I put like September wins, October wins. And I even do wins and belly laughs, because the more that I focus on my wins and the times that I was like just laughing hysterically, I get to go back to that list. And the more that I go back to that list and be like, oh wow, like I had this great conversation, I got on this cool podcast, I met these cool people, I signed a big client, I saw this really funny video that had me laughing, I had a funny conversation with my dad and he was like drooling and that made me crack up. And the more that I can go back to those type of things, you guys can even see, I can feel a shift in my energy as I start talking about those things. And then all of a sudden, like, that's the type of energy that I have. And then when you go back to that, you're like, oh, well, if you're having a challenging day, because let's not get it twisted, we all have challenging days. I truly believe that life is just like a constant wave. And the thing we know about waves is like, they're going to be crashing sometimes, and then they're going to be flowing sometimes. Right. And so when you're having those quote unquote crashing days, you can go back to your monthly milestone list and look at all the things that you've done and all the great experiences you've had and the laughs that you had. And it puts you back in that energy, and where you focus your attention, that energy starts flowing. And so it's just a really powerful tool, and you can literally just do it on your phone, or you can just write it down. But the more that you do that and you get in the habit of doing that, not only doing it, but going back to it and reminding yourself of that stuff, you feel like you're less behind the eight ball, as opposed to like when you get stressed out and just like adhere to your dense emotions that will arise from time to time.
That's a really cool tool. And in our world, we're always talking about how the nervous system reacts. And keeping track of the cool stuff in your life really changes your neurology. It starts to teach your nervous system that you're not in fight or flight, that there is not a constant lion on your butt. But what we found is that so many people have a really hard time admitting that something good happened to them. Yeah. So we'll ask people, like, what's the greatest thing that ever happened in your life? Like, how many people have helped you in your life? And it's shocking how many people say, no one ever helped me, nothing good ever happened. I was one of those people. I was taking a NLP training many years ago, and one of the processes was a treasure map, a timeline treasure map. And you were to go through your life along, you know, the timeline of your life, and put a marker, like physically on a line where people helped you. And I was like, oh, Jesus, sounds like the worst thing I ever did in my life. You know, I had a good life. I had great parents. I knew people that helped me. I wasn't a complete and utter troll. But, you know, like, it just, this was annoying to me to have to do this process. But I'm telling you, it was incredibly eye-opening. I found back to 5 years old, and even a little bit earlier, where I've been set on the path to become who I was supposed to be. You know, for me, it was about speaking or being asked to sing in public or, you know, always, you know, out there in front of people. And, you know, that experience changed my thinking about everything. It changed my reality. But being able to keep track of what happens, the cool stuff in your life daily and acknowledge it, that's huge. And it makes a big change in the body, not just the mind, but the way the body and the mind communicate with each other is altered. So that is an amazing tool. Do you have any cool stories about people who've used this and changed their experience?
I mean, the thing that I would say is when you change the questions that you ask and you change your focus and your attention, that's when everything can shift, right? And I'll even meet people at events because I go to a lot of events and network a lot and meet a lot of people, and even in like Instagram DMs too. And one of the questions that I love to ask is like, what are you excited about right now? And so I can see and feel like a visceral shift in some people, because sometimes I can read people very quickly. Like, it's one of the gifts that God has blessed me with and what has allowed me to be a good coach. But I can sense some people, you know, have a little bit more of a denser energy, maybe having a tough day. And when I ask that question, I'm like, hey, like, tell me, like, what's something you're really excited about? And then all of a sudden it like shifts their energy, because like, if I ask that question, they're like, oh, I'm not really excited. It's just, they don't want to do that because like it makes them feel even worse about themselves, but it allows them to shift their focus. And like, then they're talking about, oh, you know, I'm actually doing this. And oh yeah, I'm actually excited about this. And then the ball keeps rolling. And I think, I don't know if this directly answers your question, but you know, I think when you have a list like that, it focuses helps you focus on things that are important, that add value to you, that add energy to you. And I've seen that numerous times whenever I meet people and they're just like immediately shifted because of the fact of what they're focusing on. So it's kind of like a micro example, but I've seen literally like within seconds, people can absolutely shift just by asking the right questions, because at the end of the day, like, questions just dictate where your focus goes. And that's exactly what the monthly milestone list does.
You know, in our experience, what we find when people's neurology is shifted enough that they actually can experience joy, because we found that a lot of people cannot, their body doesn't let them. And it's kind of the way we're built, but there's a way to override that system. But when people are able to be at neutral or better in their body, and their body actually can experience joy, we find that they become the most spectacular weirdos. Like, that's the person who's at lunch and like, oh my God, have you guys tasted this? Everybody should taste this. This is the most magnificent thing I've ever tasted. Mm-hmm. Or that person who just happens to notice what color the sky is, like, wow, this is incredible. Have you seen this? Or really get so deep in a great, juicy conversation that they forget time. So for us, that's what we see, these. It seems small, but actually it's huge, because it's a person actually experiencing all the details of life. People often will think it's reaching those big goals, you know, that first $1 million, or, you know, getting on a podcast or whatever it is, you know, getting the relationship, that's joy and that's the goal in life. And yet, truthfully, if you can become one of those spectacular weirdos who literally can sit down at a meal and be so engrossed and so joyful over every little thing, you can taste it, you can smell it, you can touch it. That's really a life of joy. And I think your idea of marking those things down can only reinforce that and make every day more obvious that you do have joys, you know, small and large. So we're getting to the end of this great conversation, Nico. Would you tell us how do people find you? How can people get involved in what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you asking. And again, thank you for having me here. This has been an incredible conversation. Probably the best places to get connected with me. We have a really cool school community. It's a platform called School, SKOOL. It's a growing platform. It's really on the rise right now. And that's why we decided to start building our community on there. We've started building it, you know, a few months ago. We have a little over 750 people in there. We go live every single week on Thursdays right now. We have some courses and different things in there to help you really cement these type of principles deeper and deeper. And then I have all my socials as well. Instagram and YouTube are some of the most where I'm the most active, and it's just under my first and last name, NIKOARAPKILES.
Yeah, why don't you say that again for people a little slower, because I think it'd be difficult for people to sound that one out. So tell us how to spell it again.
Yeah, so first name is Niko, NIKO. Last name is Arapkiles, ARAPKILES.
Awesome. And Niko shared with us that there's a place you can find him, which is school, SKOOL.com/magneticmanifester. Would you tell us really quickly what that is?
Yeah, so that was what I was mentioning, is our school community we go live every single week. It's almost like a kind of like a Facebook group, but it's just on a different platform. And then we host our courses, and we have some audios in there that will help you with like reprogramming the subconscious, removing those subconscious blocks. So yeah, that's a great place to come. There's a lot of amazing entrepreneurs in there that are all wanting to be better and be the best version of themselves, all using the woo and do framework. And again, like Liz just said, it's SKOOL.com/magneticmanifesting.
Manifesting. Sorry, I had written manifesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the thing that's very cool about that, and it's something that people say about our communities as well, is finding those like-minded people. And you said, you know, you're equal to about the five people that are in your life. And that's true in attitude and wealth and in outlook, all of it. And finding the right community can launch a person faster than I think almost anything else can, because you're in that soup, that neurological soup of people who are doing something bigger, better, more. And, you know, even just people who have the attitude of there is a possibility of something greater. So, Bill, we've got about 2 minutes. What, will you wrap us up for this conversation?
Well, gosh, you know what? I like Niko. I'm just going to straight up tell you, I like this guy, you know, and he didn't know it, but he was revealing himself. And this is somebody worth knowing. You know, he's definitely a fourth dimensional being that's out there living it and helping people. So I'm really excited that we got the opportunity to hear about you and your work. And we'll look forward to future conversations.
Definitely. Again, thank you so much. And I've really enjoyed this. And like we talked about at the beginning, is some of the best conversations just happen organically. So I'd say that this was an incredible conversation.
You know, and I would say for everybody out there, take a look around you today and find a place to have a great conversation. Stop and talk to people. Like Niko said, be willing to have that conversation. Have the intention that you're going to have a really cool conversation today or meet somebody really cool like we did. And I promise you that will happen, and it will really, really enrich your life. So everybody out there in UK Health Radio land, until next time, be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
And I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.